You're listening to The Hour of the Time. I'm Pooh.
And I'm William Cooper.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, tonight is another bad night. Wind and weather, we have snow, which began sometime very early this morning. And it is bitter cold. Bitter cold. And I usually am not affected by the cold. It is bitter cold here. Of course, we live at 7,500 feet in this huge storm that's sweeping across the plains states has certainly left its imprint on us, I can tell you that for sure. And for those of you who will bear the brunt of it, I got to tell you, you better prepare because all we're getting is the southern end. And it is bitter, bitter cold. Tonight we're going to go to the phones for a little bit, and then I'm going to read you a report from our Michigan station chief. And tonight there will be a tape of tonight's broadcast. There was not a tape of last night's broadcast. I just had to check on something here. So, we can go to the phones now, 520-333-4578. As soon as all this weather's gone, we can get back to our normal programming. Until then, I don't like to get into subjects and risk being cut off and wasting my time and your time and everybody else's time and making people that really maybe can't afford it buy tapes. So, we'll do the same thing tonight that we did last time night, only later in the broadcast, I'm going to stop taking calls and read a report. So, we'll go right to the phones, 520-333-4578 is the number. When you call, you can say something intelligent and impress the world. You can help educate people. You can make your mark up on the future. Or you can make a complete and utter ass out of yourself like the jerk did last night. Good evening. You're on the air.
I have a quick question.
Okay.
I think I got my radio turned up here. Just a second. Turn this down. At the beginning of the show, you have the voice in the background amid all the air raid sirens and screaming and bombs going off and dogs barking. What does it say? I can never make this out.
It says you're listening to the hour of the time.
And it goes on. It says other things, too.
No. It says, let me see, what does it say? Oh, it says, lights out on the hour. It is the hour of the time. Lights out for the curfew of your body, soul, and mind.
Oh, okay. Now that I know what it means, it all makes sense. One other thing. I got you a book, Renee's book, that you were promoting, the NASA Moon to America.
Yes. Oh, and speaking of that, Annie, will you bring me up that Renee thing so I can announce it? I'm sorry to interrupt you. Go ahead.
Yes. I was impressed with the book, but there was a few problems I had with the photographs. In fact, all of the points that Renee made about the photographs and the problems that he saw in them, I don't see his point. I mean, there's several things that he points out, saying that there's no explanation for this, and this seems like a fudge, and this seems wrong here. But to me, everything seems kosher. I could give you several examples of what I mean, but...
Without the listeners being able to see the photographs and understand what you mean, there's no point in it, because you have to be able to see those photographs. And it's okay if you disagree with Renee. Some people will.
Have you had anybody, talk to you about this, about problems that they saw in the photos that they didn't feel were...
Well, it wouldn't wash with me, because I have a degree in photography, and I agree 100% with Renee.
Okay, can I just...
In fact, I had found those discrepancies years ago and have been lecturing about them ever since 1988.
Uh-huh. Well, okay, let me make one point. You don't actually need to see the photographs for this, because you actually went over it at length, and
you don't understand. This isn't between you and me. We have about 10 million people listening.
Well, I know, but you were describing them to 10 million people listening weeks ago, and they were, seemed good enough then, and you were making some valid points, but you're missing, though. Like, you say you have a degree in photography, but I'll just mention the one about you saying shadows should all be parallel if there's one light source, which would be the sun.
That's right. And not only one light source, but that light source is millions of miles away.
Right. But, I mean, you can do this simply on a desk with a light. Like, if you take two pencils and put them beside each other, get the shadows of them, you have them parallel, you get the shadows of them spreading out, parallel shadows, you bend one of the pencils over, you tilt it, you've got two shadows that aren't parallel, coming from one light source. All of the objects that are casting shadows have to be parallel in order for the shadows to all be parallel.
No, they don't.
Well, I'm doing it right now, Mr. Cooper.
You're doing it right now on a table with a light very close to the table. The sun is hundreds of millions of miles away. Do you understand?
Well, yes, I do. But if you take two pencils and you bend one 45 degrees, tilt it away from the other one, you're not going to have two parallel shadows.
Yes, you are.
With
you can only have shadows that go directly away from the light source. If you don't understand that, you're never going to understand anything about of those pictures.
Well, okay, I mean, this is an arguable point, but you're not seeing my point, so, I mean, like you say, there's 10 million...
I can't see your point. Your point is totally erroneous. All shadows. I don't care what the shadow is of, can only be directly opposite the light source, directly behind whatever is casting the shadow. It has to be a straight line from the light source.
I agree.
Through whatever is casting the shadow to the shadow.
I agree. But if you have to, like, say you hold up a peace sign.
Good night. I'm not here to argue with you people all night. If you there's a point, like the guy last night. He calls up, has a discrepancy with what I said about my phone call with the Ice Queen. He stated his position. I told him that what I had relayed on the radio was exactly what happened. And he wanted to argue about it. You can't do that, folks. That's like little children on the playground. at some point you have to agree to disagree, and that's okay with me. But if you're going to play this silly little fool's game, did to, did not, did to, did not, did to, did not, goodbye, and good riddance. Get a brain and get a life. Good evening, you're on the air.
Hi, how you doing?
I'm doing pretty good.
Good. Hey, is it possible, maybe I should ask it this way. When are the patriots of this country going to take over? What are they going to take to cause an action?
Well, in the first place, I hope the patriots never take over the country. I hope they're successful in restoring the Constitution to its rightful place as the supreme law of the land and enforcing the Union, suppressing the insurrection that is taking place in Washington, D.C., and if we're invaded by foreign troops, repelling invasion. But take over the government? Overthrow the United States government? Never.
Well, no, not exactly. But see, I mean, the government has been taken over already by fraudulent foreign jurisdiction, if you want to call it that.
Well, you're right.
And I just wanted to know how we're going to restore this thing.
Well, you have to first sit down and you have to understand how wars are fought. And you have to understand how wars are won. And wars are usually always won before any battle is ever fought.
I hope so.
If patriots rise up and start shooting, they lose the support of the population of America. And without that support, they have lost the war.
Well, I'm glad to hear yeah, you say that. So this is sort of like a board game then.
All wars are like a board game. That's why chess was developed, to teach people who had to lead our planned battles, our planned strategy, to be able to use their brains and conduct a war in that manner and be able to anticipate the enemy's moves way ahead of time.
So we're trying to educate the masses, so to speak, right?
We have to educate them. We have to make sure that our actions are proper and within the law and right. And then when they do something offensive, and by offensive I mean sickening, to try to get their way and bring about their world government and cement their enslavement of the American people or disarm the American people, then the mood of the population will swing over to our side, and whoever commits that act will be the enemy and lose the popular support of the people. And if they lose that, then they've lost the war.
Well, I've noticed and I've seen and I've experienced myself that patriots have tried to use and educate the courts in what the law is and what the Constitution is, even though they should know it.
The courts already know it.
Well, you know, they're reminded, but yet the...
let me say this again. The courts know full well what they're doing and what the law is and what they've done to it. It's like a game. If you go into court and you really know what you're doing, the judge will have respect for you and sometimes might even help you out. He knows exactly what's going on.
Okay, well, I appreciate that.
But not all lawyers do.
Wow.
Some lawyers are worse than sheeple, believe me.
Yeah, okay, thanks a lot.
You're welcome. Thank you for calling. That was a very good question.
Yes, bye.
520-333-4578. Is the number. Good evening, you're on the air.
Hello, Bill?
Yes.
Hi, among all the letters and information you received, I was just wondering if you came across two of the NASA photographs that I sent you.
Yes.
What did you think of them?
I thought they were excellent. Thank you very much.
Okay.
The only thing that makes it difficult is when there are copies like that. It's...
Right. I couldn't get you an actual copy, but...
Yeah, I know. No problem, though. I could see what you were pointing out very well.
Okay. Now, I have a question about your call for officers for the Second Continental Army.
I didn't call for officers. I called for leaders. Whether or not they ever become officers is up to somebody else, not me.
Okay, understood. Now, my questions are, does that in any way defeat the purpose of having small, anonymous cell groups?
Who said we don't? In fact, most of our people who are in the intelligence service don't know anybody else who's in the intelligence service except the person that they work directly for.
Okay.
We are extremely insulated. And that's why you don't hear about us. That's why you don't see us on Donahue. I must have had 600 phone calls from media people trying to get me on television or radio or interviews with newspapers. In fact, they were so frantic to get interviews with me, they were calling the local people here and trying to get them to get me to open up and talk to them. So that it was incredible. And you never saw one story come from this army. Not from me, not from anybody.
Okay.
When a story, when we want something to go out to the press, it's done in a manner that has nothing to do with the Continental Army of the Republic. But the people get the message.
All right. A follow-up question is that you may not want to talk about this over the air, but if someone were to write to you and ask what assurances they would have that these lists would be protected against a possible confiscation someday or a computer hacker, is such measures being taken to protect these lists?
We take every possible measure to protect our personnel from discovery that we can possibly take. That's all I can tell you.
Right, but nothing is 100% foolproof.
Nothing is ever 100% foolproof. And I know it's not going to make you feel any better, but this is the truth. There's only one list, and you're already on it.
Okay. All right, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Thanks.
You can't hide anymore, folks, from this. You can't hide anymore. What's coming is going to affect you, whether you hid or whether you fought or whatever. You're going to have to stand up for what you believe in, or you're going to have to help them put the chains on your own feet. So you make up your mind. Good evening. You're on the air.
Yeah, Bill, have you ever heard of the drill societies?
Yes.
I was just curious as to what you felt about them.
I really don't feel anything about them, to tell you the truth. I know what's going on. I have access to information that none of you are privy to. You can go around and play your silly games all you want to. And if we were living in a society where we had a chance to make them work, I'd say it's fantastic. But I know what the outcome of this is going to be. And I don't waste my time.
Right. All right. Thank you, Bill.
You're welcome. 520-333-4543. And I'm not trying to discourage any of you from doing what you think you should do. But when you ask me an honest question, I give you an honest answer. And you can't ask anything else of me. Good evening. You're on the air.
Good evening, Mr. Cooper. This is Bill in Hendersonville, North Carolina. Other evening, Sunday evening, I guess it was, Telstar 301, the ABC feeds coming down a story of Russian and United States troops participating together. And when they finished it all off, they said, referenced it to the coming New World Order. I thought that was another opening mission there, so nothing's out, nothing's secret. It's all
Yeah, that's what I've been telling you guys for years. It's not really what you think of as a conspiracy. Conspiracy is really when two or more people get together and decide to do something to accomplish a goal. Okay? Most people think it has to be in secret. Well, it doesn't have to be in secret, and none of it is in secret. It's all out there. They don't make any secret of it. They believe they've already won. They're just waiting to figure out a way to get the guns out of the hands of the American people. And really, that's the only thing stopping them right now. And if they succeed at that, it's all over.
Exactly right. One other thing, my FM transmitter arrived today, so.
Fantastic. Have you tried it out?
No, I haven't. Got to get the correct coax to get the antenna match right. But it will be forthcoming.
Great. Wonderful.
Thanks, sir. Have a good evening.
You too.
Bye-bye.
And I wish you hours and hours of wonderful broadcasting experience, and I hope you're able to educate your local community. Good evening. You're on the air.
Good evening, Bill. Jim from Anaheim. I had a question. I got a copy of a publication from a friend of mine called G-Forces by a guy named Frank Feather, and it also is copyright 1989 Frank Feather and Geostrategic Opportunity Development Corporation. Have you ever heard of that?
No.
I'm going to be sending it to you. It's a It's an incredible publication. Apparently, they pulled it right back off the market because it says too much.
Can you give us a little encapsulated, real short sort of summary of what it is that it says?
Yeah, hopefully I won't talk too fast to cram it all in, but just looking at the table of contents, he's talking about 35 forces reinventing the world. G-forces for social motivation, satisfying psychological drives, stabilizing global population, feeding the future, piping clean water to for all. Of course, this is all in their point of view and couched in their kind of language.
Mm-hmm.
Creating global wellness, providing meaningful work. I can't wait for that one.
Well, they're already starting in our schools.
Oh, yeah, I know.
Children are not going to have any choice about what they can become anymore. They're going to be tested at an early age and channeled into what society needs. And if society needs auto mechanics and this guy's got an IQ of 140 and they don't have any projected openings and IQ of 140 jobs, he's going to be an auto mechanic.
Well, that's right. He's talking about future in super cities, achieving sexual and racial harmony, globalizing values, beliefs, and culture, educating the future, 10 billion super brains, eliminating global force T1, eliminating hard work, creating leisure society, right, drive for productivity and efficiency, sharing information and technology, micropowered expansion. One of the things that was interesting in this, I flipped to the back of it, and there was a chart talking about global parity. There was a chart with a bunch of circles, incipient global multipolarity, 1965 to 1990. And the United States is a big circle, and everything else is a small circle. The next biggest circle is this USSR. The next chart is global multi-parity by 2000. There's six countries or groups, China, Japan, U.S., USA, Western Europe, Third World, and USSR, Eastern Europe. And there's some cross-connecting dash lines and straight lines. They're all joined together, kind of in a hectogram kind of a arrangement. They're all the same size.
Yeah. Well, you just confirmed the date that I've been telling people for years, 2000.
Well, I think you're going to enjoy this. His dedication says, to all geostrategic change agents, those who recognize that the future is not a spectator sport, rather it is something in which we must invest most of our thought and action, because destiny is something we create, and we are building a global civilization.
Well, you know what's really sad about that is they got all these people conned into believing that what they're building is going to be good. And none of them, not a single one of them, can tell you what it is that they're building. They don't even know.
They're all duped.
They're all duped, just like the Bolsheviks were duped, just like the people in communist China who fought for Chairman Mao and later were executed because they knew too much. Socialists and communists have done this throughout the history of the world. They con the intelligentsia into bringing them to power, and then they turn right around and execute the intelligentsia. It's never failed. And that's exactly what's going to happen when this comes off. Because the intelligentsia are the ones who appreciate the freedom of being able to use their brains and do what they do and write what they want to write and teach what they want to teach. And you see, once they bring these people to power, they lose all of those things. And then all of a sudden they realize they made a mistake and it's too late because they're dead.
Now, I'm not sure they even cared in communist China or, you know, this place like Cambodia. With that radical communist theory, their idea is they'll just let society suffer and wait a generation or two.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Or reprogram everybody.
In Cambodia, they killed everybody who had any kind of education or professional ability whatsoever.
Well, that's what I'm kind of afraid they're going to try to pull here.
Absolutely, they will.
Well, my friend, until next time, as soon as I get this copied, I'll have it in the mail to you.
Thank you very much.
Okay, thanks, Bill. Good night.
Good night. Thank you for calling. Yeah, folks, if you want to know what's going to happen in the future, all you got to do is look at what happened in the past. It always repeats itself. And these people are so predictable. They never change anything. They go by a set of rules that were written down by Marx and Lenin and Stalin and all of these guys, Chairman Mao, and they never deviate from those rules. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hello, Mr. Cooper.
Yes.
I was listening to Radio for Peace International before you came on, and they were talking about peace poles being erected. 1,000 of them in the world.
Oh, all the phaluses are going up, right?
Have a look.
Peace poles.
They're
penises, and that's the truth.
Yeah, Yes, apparently so, sir. I was listening to your studies on the air about secret societies, and I understand about this now. Thank you very much for all the information.
You're welcome. I know I confused a lot of people for a couple of years before it all started to make sense, but I think a lot of people understand a lot better now than they ever did.
Well, I didn't want to take up much of your time, but I wanted to share this bit of information with you.
Okay.
And thank you very much, sir. Good night.
You're welcome. I appreciate that. 520-333-4578 is the number. You know, I'm getting messages off the list because I posted message stating that starting Monday, anybody who hasn't contributed to the list is going to be dropped from the list. And we're going to do that every 2 weeks. To me, someone who just sits in the background while other people do the research and do the work and hand out information and just suck it up and suck it up and suck it up and never give, to me, they're just like welfare recipients on an information allowance. And I don't like that. So if you're on my list on the Internet, you're going to contribute or I'm going to drop you without prejudice, nothing against you, nothing personal. And if you ever decide you want to contribute, you can come back and join the list again. But I just want people on there that are going to contribute and are going to help each other. I don't want, I don't want any of the other stuff. If you want information welfare, there's 5 million lists on the Internet. Go find another one. And somebody said, well, I hope you don't kick me off. I won't kick you off. If you contribute, you're not going anywhere. You'll be welcome forever. I'll love you. But if you don't contribute, you will kick yourself off. Simple as that. Nothing mysterious about it. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hello, Bill?
Yes.
This is Dick from Inverness, Florida.
Hello.
I've bought a number of things from you, your treason papers and such. But I had a question I wanted to ask. Do you know anything about what this Agenda 21 is? It's something to do with the UN. My daughter was up in the UN building there over Christmas or just after, and she's looking some of the literature in their bookstore, and she kept seeing this reference to Agenda 21, and she asked me if I knew, and I said, well, I don't know.
Let me ask you something, and I can never understand why people don't do this. And I hope you don't take this personally. Why didn't she ask somebody when she was there? Because the UN, if it's their thing, they're the people who know.
I don't know why she didn't do that. Maybe she didn't think of it.
Well, most people are that way. Rather than call the source of the information or ask while they're talking to somebody who knows about it, they'll wait till they get home and call me. I don't know about it. I haven't heard it. I wish she had have asked, and I wish your call was to tell us what it meant.
Yeah, I think it has something to do with this Baha'i religion. This is my hunch that the UN wants to institute as a worldwide religion, because that's their UN religion.
What's that got to do with 21?
Well, I don't know. I think that might be just what they call it or something like that.
Do me a favor.
Guessing here, I don't know.
Do me a favor. Don't guess and don't make things up. Just find out and then get back to us and let us know what it is. That's your assignment.
I'll give it a try.
Okay. All you got to do is call the UN and ask them.
All righty. Good enough.
And that's, that's easy to do.
Command you for all the information you provided. You really opened my eyes up to what's happening.
Thank you.
We've got to defend this Constitution. They sure are slaughtering it now.
Well, I'll tell you something. Just like I said a couple weeks ago, nothing is ever going to be like it ever was before. Mm-hmm. But we have to do everything we possibly can to save as much as we possibly can. Change is inevitable, folks. And if you don't believe that...
Well, I still half of my congressmen and senators and what I think is right and what I hope they think is right.
Good.
They can't say they pay much attention to it.
Well, we have to do everything we possibly can that's responsible to try and prevent any kind of bloodshed or anybody getting hurt and never, ever allow that to happen until it's absolutely forced upon us. And when it is, then by golly, we have to do whatever it is that we have to do.
That's right. When your back is against the wall, you sometimes have to stand and fight.
Well, there's nothing else.
Yeah.
Thank you for calling.
Well, take care, Bill, and God bless you.
You too.
Bye-bye.
Folks, don't forget, don't be afraid to go to sources. Don't be afraid to ask people. You know, just come right out and ask. All they can do is say, I'm not going to tell you. What are they going to do to you? Just ask them. If you want to know if you want to get a list of UN documents and publications, call them up and ask for their catalog. They'll send it to you. It's free. And you'll be amazed at what's in there. Absolutely amazed. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hi. I talked to Miss Linda in Indianapolis.
Uh-huh.
She told me to talk to you, and she said maybe you can help me find out some information. How do I find out on a state level who is in the Masonic Order that are running for office?
Well, there's a couple of ways. You can call their office and ask for a current resume.
Okay.
And, you don't even have to give them a reason. Ask for a resume of the person, listing all memberships and affiliations with organizations and fraternal organizations. And they'll usually send you one. If they won't, then go to your library and get out Who's Who. There's a whole bunch of different Who's. There's Who's Who in the West, Who's Who in the East, Who's Who in the United States, Who's Who in the world, and all of that stuff, and look in there, and frequently they'll have them all listed. Now, just because they're not listed as being members of organizations doesn't mean that they're not. You have to understand these are secret societies.
Right.
And some of them will reveal their memberships and publications and resumes and things like that, and a lot of them never do. The hour of the time, ladies and gentlemen, is brought to you by our good friends at Swiss America Trading. When I say good friends, I'm not joking a bit. And those of you who have been listening to this broadcast since its inception, you know what they've done for us, at least as much as you're able to know. They've done a lot that nobody's going to know except me and Annie and Craig Smith and some other key people. They care. They really care. You know, to sponsor this type of programming, do you really realize how much of the segment of the population they cut out and alienate and how much business that they lose? You know, when you take a stand like this, you really have to love liberty. You have to love freedom. You have to love and stand behind and believe in the message of this broadcast. And they do. They have. And I'm certain that as long as Craig Smith is alive and has the money to pay for this airtime, always will. Now, Craig didn't go into this business because he wanted to make a whole lot of money from selling gold and silver coins. He started out as a hobby, collecting coins and paper money. And he got so good at it that eventually it became a business. And it's a good business. It helps people who need to protect their assets and prepare for the future. And I'm really glad that Craig has formed that company and does what he does. Because to tell you quite frankly, I haven't found anybody else that I would let sponsor this broadcast. I'm sure that there are some out there. But I can tell you that there's none in the state of Arizona that I've looked into that I would attach my name to. It's a lot of shady, crooked stuff goes on when you get into this kind of thing. Craig Smith is honest. Swiss America Trading is honest. They have a buyback policy. They guarantee what they do. In fact, they're so good and so squeaky clean that I guarantee what they do. And how many radio people or anybody have you ever known that would do that? And folks, when I say I would do that, I'm not kidding. If they ever cheat anybody and refuse to make it good, I'll sell my house to make it good. Because I stand solidly behind what I believe in and what I say. So if you want to deal with some really good people who aren't going to cheat you, who are going to tell you the truth, who are going to give you a buyback plan and guarantee what they do, and tape everything so that the salesman can't lie and you can't lie either. All we have to do is pull out the tape and put it in a machine and play it. Not only that, but before they even send anything out to you, they'll call you again and make sure that you understood every single bit of that transaction. And if you didn't, that's the end of it. It's terminated right then and there. 1-800-289-2646. Thank them for sponsoring this broadcast. Tell them that you're a steady listener to the Hour of the Time. And, ladies and gentlemen, you'll get red carpet treatment, I guarantee it. Ask for the latest copy of the newsletter. 1-800-289-2646. If you've never held a $20 gold piece in your hands, you got a real treat coming. By the way, ladies and gentlemen, the Second Continental Army of the Republic is still looking for leaders. Still looking for leaders. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hello?
Hello?
Yeah, Bill, can you hear me?
Yes.
Oh, okay. I didn't know if you had pushed my button or not. I'm Bernie in Hudson, Ohio. I wanted to share just an item or two regarding the New World Order that our current leader in the White House, I use that with a little tongue-in-cheek, is planning. You probably know this yourself, but maybe you hadn't passed it along. As the year was ending, he turned over a ton of plutonium at the Rocky River Flats near Denver to United Nations control.
Yes.
It was about 288 drums, and these guys are going to come back every month. And they basically have control of this.
I wonder what they're going to do with it.
One of the interesting aspects is that the inspection team is headed by a Russian, if you can believe that.
Oh, I believe it.
And it includes inspectors from Sweden, South Africa, Belgium, Britain, China, Vietnam. This apparently was put together by Hazel O'Leary, Ken Lungo, the director of the department. She's the energy secretary. And Ken Lungo, the director of the department's Arms Control and Non-Proliferation Office, managed to turn over these materials that have been paid for by the United States taxpayers over to UN control. Second piece of information that I just wanted to pass along is that our current president, in his determined pursuit of a new world order, is his support for Spain's foreign minister, Javier Soleno. I may not have pronounced that correctly, but it's pretty close. This guy is a known communist. And he's being purported and supported by our current president to be the new NATO leader. That is just the same NATO that's now in control of the new world order for the Balkans. Now, Congressman Dornan, who you may or may not agree with a lot of times, did insert an item or two in the congressional record about this guy. And he basically said, I'll just paraphrase it, Soleno is not only a Marxist, whose only slogan when he took over in September of 79 was the platform, we are a Marxist party, and that is it. He's also a big friend of Castro, constantly hammering on us to take the sanctions off of that communist killer. And he says that he has openly admitted opposing Spain's membership in NATO. Now he runs the thing, and Spain is not a full member in full standing in NATO.
Yeah, but I got to tell you something. I've already covered that story on this broadcast.
Oh, that means.
And
I didn't mean to. I don't get a chance to hear you each and every night.
That's okay. I'm not picking on you. Just sort of cutting it short because we don't need to go into all that detail when it's already been done.
So, but I thought that the information regarding the fact that 288 drums of this material is no longer under our control would be of interest to a lot of people who really thought that this guy was just a clown that lies. Okay. Nice talking to you, Bill.
Thank you.
God bless.
Okay. Okay, hold off on your calls, folks. I'm going to read this report from our Michigan station chief, and if you call and I pick up a phone, and you're going to be on hold for a long time, and I don't know if you want to be or not, and it really makes me angry if I put somebody on hold and then go to put them on the air, and they're gone because they didn't want to wait. So if you don't want to wait, don't call. Okay? So I'm going to count to about five, and silently while I'm reading this, and then if there's somebody on the line, I'm going to pick them up. But they're going to be on hold until I finish this report. And when I go to the phones, I want somebody to be there. So if you're not going to hold for that long, don't call. Here it is. On December 27th, the Oxford Township board members intended to update their existing fire code document. Embedded deep in the ordinance were provisions that would allow for random home inspections and gun and ammunition registration. Ordinance number 95, on its second reading, seemed harmless enough. Its intent, as described in the legal notices, was, quote, to provide for the prevention of fires and the protection of persons and property from the exposure from the dangers of fires and explosions, to authorize the investigation of fire hazards, to prohibit and prevent fire hazards, to establish fire limits wherein wooden structures shall not be constructed, to provide punishment for the violation thereof, and to repeal all other ordinances or parts thereof in conflict herewith, end quote. Now, what I want to really tell you people is that you've got to start reading all the legislation that's passed in your city, in your county, and in your state. You've got to do it. You have to form committees, and you've got to farm it out, because if you don't, this stuff is going to sneak by. Remember, not too long ago, I read you about this proposed legislation in the Oxford Township, where if you had guns or ammunition in your house, you had to give the fire department a complete floor plan listing all exits and entrances, and show exactly where the guns were located, list the guns, and show exactly where the ammunition was located, and how many people lived in the house and all of this stuff, and then you had to allow them to come in and inspect your home once a year. And that's not all. See, this is all unconstitutional, illegal, unlawful, and it's they're sneaking this stuff through. Well, because the Second Continental Army, the Republic Intelligence Service, was on the ball in Michigan, it was stopped. But I'm going to read you this because the same thing is happening in cities all over this country and has already happened in a lot of cities that you don't even know it's happened. You have no idea. Let me continue. Most people do not read the legal notices of their village or town. The township attorney and the township board had approved the language of the ordinance, but some people do. 80 citizens, some from the Michigan militia, packed the township meeting to stop this ordinance. The outcome of the meeting was that the ordinance would be tabled and reworked, ready for a reading in February. You see what happens when you get good intelligence? One of the township board members said that this ordinance was needed to stop a Koresh incident from occurring in the area. Art Bean, senior officer of the Michigan militia, asked the trustees to name one law the residents of Waco broke before the federal siege. Nobody could. Oxford Township adopted the, quote, Boca National Fire Prevention Code, 1993, 9th edition, as published by the Building Officials and Code Administrators International Incorporated, end quote. Note that word, international. Two different forces are working together to meld Oxford into a regionally governed municipality. One force is the very international associations such as the Building Officials and Code Administrators International. The other, the Oxford Emergency Safety Authority, which sources are gathering data to see the connection between OESA and FEMA. The Oxford Emergency Safety Authority, among other purposes, prescribes the power and duties of the firefighters. The OESA was created June 16, 1989, when the municipalities of the Village of Oxford and Charter Township of Oxford Incorporated. The said intent of the additional additions, deletions, and insertions to the Boca Fire Prevention Code International was to allow for the collection of monies due to damages incurred. However, the following excerpts from the ordinance will give insight to the ordinance's possible intent and dangers. Quote, listen carefully to this. Quote, nothing herein shall preclude the OESA board from giving directions for the operation of the department to the fire chief within the scope of service to the community. The fire chief is hereby authorized, empowered, and required to inspect from time to time buildings and premises where accumulations of combustible materials and other hazardous conditions are liable to exist, and make a report of conditions of all buildings in the business districts to the OSEA board. For the purpose of such inspections, they are empowered to enter any and all buildings and premises at any reasonable hour. I hope you heard that. And I'm not finished. I'm still quoting. The fire chief is vested, insofar as allowed by law, with full and complete misdemeanor police and civil infraction enforcement authority. The fire chief or duly authorized representative, as may be in charge at the scene of the fire or other emergency involving the protection of life and or property, is empowered to direct such operations as may be necessary to extinguish or control any suspected or reported hazardous conditions or situations, or have taken any other action necessary in the reasonable performance of their duty, which means they can do anything. And I'm still quoting. A person shall not willfully fail or refuse to comply with any lawful order or direction of the fire chief or duly authorized representative. Here, now you have a dictator in the fire department. And I'm still quoting. It shall be unlawful for any person to injure or attempt to conspire to injure fire department personnel while performing departmental duties. And this means you can't stop them from entering your home. And I'm still quoting. It shall be unlawful for anyone to possess, store, or have for sale any caches of ammunition and or guns or explosives without first notifying the chiefs of the fire and police departments of their exact location in said establishment. That's registration. It's also so they know exactly where to go in your home to get them. They don't have to search. And I'm still quoting. The fire chief or his subordinate officers or any member of the fire department authorized by the chief are authorized by the subordinate officer, are hereby empowered and authorized with the full power, authority, and duty to the extent allowed by law to enter into any house or building, lot, yard, premise, structure, or condition relative to the existence of any fire or fire hazard at any time of night or day, and to determine whether or not a fire hazard exists or whether there is a violation of the fire prevention code. In other words, if they don't have any other reason to enter your house, now they've got one. Any inspections made and or any findings thereof will immediately be reported in writing and be kept on file as part of the records of the fire department. In other words, when they come in to your house under this law and they see guns, they're going to make a written record of those guns and where they're at in your house. Definitions, and I'm still quoting. A. Hazardous materials. Any substance of material which is dangerous or harmful to the environment or human or animal life, or constitutes a danger or threat to the public health, safety, or welfare, including but not limited to explosives. That covers everything that there is to do with firearms, ammunition, and a whole lot of other things. Fingernail polish falls right into that category, folks. The fire department shall be entitled to recover all costs Such costs shall include, but are not limited to, those associated with fire extinguishment and investigation. The restrictions the township was attempting, and that's the end of the quote. The restrictions the township was attempting to put on guns and ammunition were not allowed under state law. Public Act 319 of 1990 prohibits local units of government from imposing certain restrictions on the ownership, registration, purchase, sale, transfer, transportation, or possession of pistols or other firearms, ammunition for pistols or other firearms. The Oxford Police Department is censoring news. Listen to this. The Oxford Police Department has a new public information policy and is probably illegal, according to the Michigan Press Association. I can guarantee you it is. Citizens and members of the media under the new policy will not be allowed to look at uncensored police reports or be allowed unaccompanied inside the police station. All persons interested in looking at a report must file a Freedom of Information Act request within the department. The department must produce the report within 5 days. However, except for traffic accident reports, the reports will have all names, addresses, ages, and officers' names blacked out. The requestee will have to pay a $3 per report plus the wage of the employee who processed the request. Police Chief Gary Ford said that there were two reasons for the change of policy. Employees of the department were afraid reporters would hear sensitive information, and police officers want their reports to be confidential. I bet they do. The Oxford Emergency Safety Authority did not vote on the change because it was an administrative decision. The word international is what should be troubling. International is ordinance number 95. Oxford. Again, what is happening to small-town America? A plainclothes Oxford policeman allegedly pointed a gun and threatened a leader of the Teamsters Union. This confrontation occurred on October 15, 1995, in Troy, Michigan, another city 10 miles south of Oxford. The Teamster member was participating in a Detroit newspaper strike. On December 24, 1995, a tape was sent to the newspapers that contained two police officers' phone conversations, which could be construed as threatening to the union. The tape has become part of the police and private investigations. Oxford is now a member of the multi-jurisdictional task force, and in doing so, they must lend out two of their officers to the force. These officers will be acting in areas other than Oxford. News of this change came out in fall 1995 and was published in the Oxford Leader. They don't have any authority or jurisdiction or powers of arrest outside of Oxford. They're city police. Yet that's what they're going to be doing. And in the Oakland Press, January the 3rd, 1996, on page A9, Arthur Rudolph, developer of the Saturn V rocket, dies. The giant Saturn V rocket launched a crew of American astronauts on the first manned flight to the moon in 1969. Rudolph, 89, died in Hamburg, Germany, after he lapsed into a coma at his home. He left the United States in 1984 after the Justice Department accused him of working thousands of slave laborers to death while director of a German factory that produced the V-2 rocket during World War II. He denied the accusation. But you see, when they brought him to the United States under Project Paperclip, they already knew that. He did something that made them angry. And that's it, ladies and gentlemen. So I'm going to go to the phones, and there better be somebody there. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hello?
Hello.
Yes. Okay.
Turn your radio off.
It's off. I wanted to pass something on to you guys that...
I can hear your radio. 520-333-4578. 520-333-4578. We've got time for maybe three or four more calls. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hey, Cooper.
Yeah.
This is Sam in Maryland.
Hi.
Can I pass out some info on the Second Amendment rally?
Sure.
Okay. February, because we need some help from Northern Virginia and Southern Pennsylvania.
Go for it.
Okay. February 19th, 1 p.m. in Annapolis, Maryland at Lawyers Mall. That's right between the Governor's Mansion and the in the state capitol building. And there's a place where people can park maybe half mile away and walk down, easy walk. And we need as many warm live bodies as we can get there. That's a Monday, which is President's Day, February 19th, 1 p.m.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
You're welcome. And now I've got some information I want to give you guys. So here it comes. The man who wrote NASA Moon to America, R. Rene, is going to be in Elmwood Park, New Jersey, the first Monday in February. That's the first Monday in February at a meeting of the Constitutionists. That's the first Monday in February at 8 p.m. at the J-O-U-A-M Hall. That's the J-O-U-A-M Hall at Locust Street and River Drive. That's Locust Street and River Drive, right on the corner, in Elmwood Park, New Jersey. There's a $5 donation required. He's going to have his space glove machine there so that you can see why they could not have done what they said that they did, or at least one of the reasons. He's going to be talking about NASA Moon to America. And there are going to be other speakers there talking about federal and state issues and programs in the coming year. For information, call this number, 201-471-7591. Once again, for information on the man who wrote NASA Moon to America's talk in Elmwood Park, New Jersey, call 201-471-7591. Good evening. You're on the air.
Yes, Mr. Cooper. My name's Ron. I'm calling from California. I talked with you one time before and gave you a little report on the book I got from you, NASA Moon to America. And on the satellite just yesterday, they were showing this new, improved spacesuit that they have. And you could see how much heavier with the helmet and everything than it is with the ones that they had on the moon, supposedly.
Uh-huh.
And if you think about the things that we learned in science and physics when we were in school, that with an atmosphere of 14 pounds or so per square inch, and then if you're on the moon with no atmosphere, that suit with that much pressure in it would balloon like a big, like the Michelin tire man.
Yeah, that's right.
And if you think about it, when you know that these high altitude planes, when they lose the compression or the pressure in the plane, and the windows, when they open the door or a hatch opens and everything flies out, well, that's what's between the astronaut and outer space, is that thin. It's a small.
We got the message and we're out of time.
Thank you, sir.
You're welcome. Thank you for calling. Well, that's it, folks. And LB in Michigan, you done good. Keep it up. Good night, folks, and God bless each and every single one of you.